Welcome to Age of Minority, a podcast for youth about the gospel. I'm your host, Jaquel, here with my co-host, pastor, and dad, Sean.
I just realized I was going to go get a coffee, and I didn't.
Oh, bummer. Too late now.
I think we should stop.
No, we're not stopping.
I have to wait till after for my coffee?
Yes, you do.
Okay,
all right,
fine.
I have been down in this basement
coffee.
Too long with
what?
You. We
what?
Need to get this
what?
Episode.
I know, and it's a beautiful day outside, and we're down in this dank basement.
I know.
This dark, dank basement.
I know.
This is the love that we have for our listeners. I mean, seriously.
It's true.
Here we are on a beautiful Saturday afternoon down in our dark, musty basement.
I know.
And we're doing
musty
this
have some more.
For you.
That's true.
Oh, Jaquel. If only Grampy was listening.
I know.
How was that dinner tonight, Dad? It was musty. It was musty. Musty have some more.
That is the most classic. Well, see, I don't even think of it as a dad joke. I think of it as like a grandpa
That's
joke.
That's a grandpa joke. It's
because
good.
It's, yeah. Well, you must have got your great joke skills from him.
Hey, Jaquel, how's it going today?
It's going dandy, Buzz.
It's going dandy.
How's it going with you?
Well, you know, it's going okay. I'm not preaching tomorrow.
I know. It's very weird.
It is super weird, man. I don't know if there's any pastors out there listening here, but I would love to know, do other pastors find it really weird on Saturday night when they're not preaching on Sunday? It's just a whole nother world I'm living in today, and it's just, well, and last week, you know, we got big things happening at our church. We're adding elders. I have been the single elder at our church for the last 9 years, and we are soon to add two more elders.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty
I'm
crazy
super
exciting.
Excited about that. And so one of them preached last week, one of them preached this week, and it's like I feel like I'm just footloose and fancy free. You know, it's just so strange.
So yesterday was really weird to me because in our house, Friday
yes.
is sermon writing day.
I know.
Except all afternoon yesterday, you were like doing yard work. And I'm like, I am so confused what day it is. Dad is mowing the lawn on a Friday afternoon.
No, I did do sermon work until about 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
But I mean, normally all day Friday yep. is sermon day. And so, yeah, it was strange that I was out cutting the lawn.
It was really weird. It was like, no, this is not what you do on Fridays.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, like, I, oh man, it is just so great to be able to go to church and be ministered to. I mean, that sermon last week
yeah.
from Micah chapter 1, oh man, that was so good.
That was so powerful.
Looking forward to hear from Jake preaching on 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6.
Yeah.
Right? So we're getting two very different sermons. We're getting one from the Old Testament, from Micah chapter 1, and one from 1 Corinthians 3. But you know what's cool about the 1 Corinthians 3:6
What's cool?
You know what's cool about it is that
yeah,
I'm teaching through 1 Corinthians in Bible study.
I
so
know.
Everybody's got the context just front and center. That's what was so interesting about last week. I know people are really excited about this. There's pastors that are listening.
Yes.
But like Steve got up and he preached on Micah 1:1-7. And so the thing is that when you're going to open up a prophet, you're going to have to give some context.
Yeah.
And so like I was talking to one person about the sermon this week and they were saying, yeah, it kind of started off more like a lecture. But then when he got into it, oh, man, it was just, it was a very powerful message. And so, no, it's just interesting that got that one that last week. So I'm excited about getting ministered to by the word.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm usually so keyed up on a Saturday night because I'm getting ready to bring the word, right?
Right.
Like I've been preaching it to myself all week and then I'm getting ready to preach. But now I just get to, you know, get ready to go and just enjoy and be ministered. Now I got to teach Sunday school.
I know.
Lead the service.
And I feel like you are probably the dead opposite of Jake right now because you're like so chill and relaxed.
Yeah.
Jake, who's preaching on Sunday. Oh, yeah. They just had a baby today. Their fourth baby.
I know. What's going on in our church, man?
I know.
It is so many exciting things. Not only are we adding elders, but we've added two babies this week.
I know. In 2 days.
And we're adding four new members.
I mean,
things are going, So, man, you ask me how things are going. Things are going really good.
I am glad to hear it.
Things are going super good. We are very blessed right now, very encouraged. And so that's about it. Anything new with you?
Not too much.
No. Do we want to talk about the ice cream bar again? The ice cream patio? The ice cream
bar.
The dairy bar.
Don't act like you don't know what it's called. what is that new fandangled thing? The ice cream house? No, it's the dairy bar. You know what it is.
The Sunday porch?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
No.
Though they have this great sundae that...
The Sunday sidewalk?
Well, What? No. Okay.
You said you didn't want to talk about it. No.
But then you got me started. Okay. So the best sundae ever I had is their salted caramel crunch sundae.
Yeah.
But it was really sad. I had to throw out the end of it because I was.
Yeah,
I was. Okay. I was in the public gardens and it was closing. So I had to leave, but I didn't know where there was going to be a close garbage can. And I was just at the bottom of the sundae where they have all the like caramel
you
sauce.
You threw
and
out
stuff.
Some of your sundae,
it was. It was just the like caramel sauce and
what?
Stuff at the bottom, but it was.
Why
I was disappointed because I didn't want to carry an empty cup all over the place.
There's other garbage cans?
They're not all over the place downtown.
Well, you know, you could have just littered.
Well, that's
no,
true.
We don't do that.
No.
Not in this
throwback,
house.
Last episode, we are anti-litter.
We don't litter.
We pick up litter.
We pick up other people's
literally.
Okay, let's not get started on that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our episode. What are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about a purity.
I just realized that I always ask you what the episode
is
about.
Hey, Bubs, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about purity.
Oh, whoa. Never saw that one coming.
I know. We just forgot about the whole transition. We just like, what's talk about?
Yeah, exactly.
Purity,
we're done
man.
With transitions.
Forget about those transitions, man.
We don't want to deceive the listeners into thinking that we're like more prepared and radio savvy than we actually are.
But we really are.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
We are radio savvy.
Yep, that's us.
Anyway, we're talking about purity.
Anyway.
Why are we talking about purity, Jaquel? Like, why? You wanted to do this.
Tell me,
why did you want to do an episode about purity?
So I think this is a major area that young people are thinking about and should be thinking about.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. Do you really think that most young people are thinking about the issue of purity?
I think most young people are thinking about issues that relate to purity.
No. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just, I mean, you're the one with the, with your finger on the, what is
the
that?
The pulse.
Yeah, your finger on the pulse of young people
also,
today.
I am a young person.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So we're going to be talking about a lot of issues related to purity and especially sexual purity. And this is an age when, as individuals, we're engaging with a lot of these things, or hearing about things or learning about things for the first time. And I think it is desperately important that young people know how to understand temptation, lust, sexuality from a biblical perspective. And I think purity is a key part in understanding how to engage with that. And I also think there has been a lot of weird conversations about purity. And so I think it's just important for us to talk about what does God's word say about it, and what does it mean for young people who care about honoring God in this season of life?
Yeah. So, I mean, the reason when you mentioned this, I thought, yeah, I want to do this because, and I mean, I totally agree with you. I think young people are thinking about things in relation to purity, but I think a lot of people have a lot of misunderstandings about purity. They're not thinking about purity right. Or I do think also in a lot of cases, people aren't thinking about purity.
Right. I agree.
And it's something that we really do need to think about. But more so than people not thinking about purity, I think most times people are not thinking about it in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're just struggling with it because they're not thinking about it in the right way. A lot of people have given up on it.
Yeah.
A lot of people just look. I mean, you try to live in this world and everywhere you go, you've got temptations towards impurity.
Exactly.
And so I think sometimes a lot of people just throw their hands up and go, forget it. And I mean, as a pastor, I've dealt with a lot of situations with people struggling with purity. And I mean, as a human being, I've struggled with the issue of purity myself. So, man, I think this is a hugely important topic. I'm glad you brought it up. I'm glad we're going to talk about it. But maybe what we'll do is we'll think about it with some questions, like just the basic questions,
yeah.
You know, the who, what, when, where, why. And I'll start with the who.
Right. Okay. Who is purity?
So, well, no, like, here's the question. Is who struggles with purity? And I remember I was talking to somebody once, and I was talking about, you know, men and the problems of lust and pornography and all those different things. And I remember this person saying to me, oh, I don't really struggle with that too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like who? Okay, so everybody has different levels of struggles with it. There's no question about it. Some of us struggle with some sins more than others, but for the most part, the majority. I mean, I work with men a lot of the time, as far as a primary area of my ministry is working with men. I've met very few men that don't struggle with the issue of purity to some degree. Mm-hmm. And I think, especially with young people growing up in this world, all young people will be tempted towards impurity. I mean, we'll have to do it. Well, I mean, really, we're going to have to talk about the whole issue of smartphones and whatnot in this episode. But I mean, with the abundance of smartphones and social media and all these kinds of things, everybody is struggling with the temptation towards impurity to some degree. And so there is no one out there, you know, whether you're a young person or whether you're a pastor of young people that is not struggling with the issues of purity. So we've all got to think about this. And Jaquel and I, we're just having a conversation here about this today. We're not like laying out a whole theological framework about purity. We're not going to do any word studies here or anything. We're just having a conversation. I mean, and that's the other thing. Like, I bet you a lot of people are uncomfortable talking about purity with their parents. Mm-hmm. And you really shouldn't be. It's something, if we're Christians, we ought to be talking about. And as well, maybe sometimes in church settings between pastors and young people, it's awkward to talk about. But it's something we've got to talk about. So when it comes to the who, it's everybody struggles with impurity. And we want to talk about how Christians, I mean, that's what we're talking about, how the gospel informs how we think about purity. Mm-hmm. So why don't you take what purity is. I'm giving this one to you because we had a fun conversation before the episode about what purity is.
Wow. Well, I had so many other thoughts, but apparently I will not share them.
No, go to the other thoughts. Go. We'll come back to that.
Okay. All I wanted to say is I just think it's unfair or just not accurate to characterize purity and lust as a conversation for guys, because you kind of touched on that in saying everybody, because we kind of talked about in my book that I wrote, in my chapter on sin, I use the example of a girl struggling with pornography.
Sure. Yeah.
And I've had people say to me, like, wow, that was really helpful. Yeah. Because I think it's like the same issue of sort of like body hating or shaming.
Yeah.
Like, we think generally girls struggle with that more than guys, but guys struggle with it a lot. But there's a little bit, there's more stigma attached to it. And so it's more awkward for them to talk about. Whereas with young women, like, I think, every young woman struggles with purity.
Absolutely.
And lust and temptation to some degree. And so I think it's sometimes like they separate the guys and girls to talk about purity, which in some scenarios may be totally appropriate. But in another sense, I think we just need to realize that this is not a guy problem.
Well, I mean, yeah, you raise a super important point, because whenever we have conversations of purity, it's like guys got to be careful what they look at and girls got to be careful how they look.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. Yeah. It goes both sides, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really glad you brought that up. Yeah. Anything else you want to bring up?
No, we're good. We can talk about what purity is now, because I think the other things will just come out as we sort of unpack. Like, wait, what are we even talking about? And like you said before, we talked about this and had this kind of like weird, interesting conversation, because we're like, wait, like, seriously, what is purity?
Yeah.
Like, people talk about it all the time, but nobody defines it.
Well, I mean, you remember my question is, how is purity different than holiness?
Right, exactly.
Right? So why don't you go for, I mean, I know we, I think you jotted out, you jotted out a definition. So you tell us what purity is.
Yeah, so this is kind of my definition, and then I'll sort of explain why I defined it like this. So I said that purity is seeking to live or living a holy, undefiled life that honors God's design for biblical manhood and womanhood.
No, it should be what you wrote down here. I think it's seeking to. We don't do that perfectly.
Right. I mean, inherently, the definition of purity is like doing it. But us, like, because we talk about pursuing holiness. Well, pursuing purity is like pursuing this. But it's definitely recognizing that we're seeking to do this.
Yeah, well, and the only reason I bring that up is I think back to, and I'm sure this wasn't this wasn't something that he just thought of. It wasn't original. But do you remember that illustration that we were talking about purity or holiness at church? Mm-hmm. And somebody used the illustration of a glass of water. And if that glass of water is pure, you don't want even one drop of poison in it, right? So pure is there's no poison in there whatsoever. So when we talk about pursuing purity, we're pursuing we want a life that's the glass of water without one drop of poison.
Yeah.
Now, we're not going to achieve that here in this world. We're not going to achieve perfect purity here in this world, but we're pursuing it. So that's just why I really liked that you put it's seeking to live.
Yeah.
This is what we want, and this is what we pursue, and this is what we attempt to do.
Yeah. And I think it is like inherently, inextricably connected to pursuing holiness, but it is a little bit different, because holiness, purity is almost like a part of pursuing
like
holiness.
Subset.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I think holiness applies more generally to our lives being set apart as Christians, living in a different way in every area of our lives and interactions and relationships, whereas purity really, really does more affect, like, how we interact with and think about the opposite gender, how we think about our roles as young men, young women, all sort of, like, lust, temptation. I mean, again, purity can mean more than sexual purity, but I think primarily, or at least...
It can mean more than specific elements of sexual purity. Like, in other words, I think what you're trying to say is that purity is more than just not having sex outside of marriage and not looking at pornography.
Right.
But primarily, I think when we talk about purity, we are talking about sexual purity.
Right.
So let me read 1 Thessalonians 4. And not the whole chapter.
Okay, good. I was just going to leave.
You can go get me my coffee.
Exactly.
1 Thessalonians 4. And this is a great passage. I mean, for young people that are... it's so ridiculous. I mean, it's a great passage as opposed to the passages that aren't... No,
right.
All passages
the
other are great.
Ones.
But
yeah.
Anyway, it, concerning this topic, sexual purity, this is a great passage. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness." Mm-hmm. Right? So there's a passage that is specific. I mean, we could just unpack that whole passage to understand purity, but a few things I just want to note about that passage. Number one, it's a passage that is focusing on sanctification,
right,
pursuing holiness, and one of the things it narrows in on is sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. and the pursuit of purity. And then at the end it says, "For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness." So in other words, I think we need to address, why is the pursuit of purity so important? And it's because God has called us to be holy. He has made us holy. He has set apart those who have repented of their sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has set you apart unto himself.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a responsibility to pursue purity, not so that we will be accepted by God, but because in fact we are accepted by God. I think that that's an important part.
I totally
because
agree.
Young people who are struggling with a pursuit of purity, not necessarily just young people, older
yeah.
people, pastors, youth pastors that are struggling to pursue purity. And for everyone, it's you've got to work at it. You know, so when I say struggle, you don't want to go, "Oh, well, it's not a struggle for me." All of us have to fight for purity.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was saying there is that if you're in the midst of this fight, sometimes we get things backwards.
Yeah.
And we think, "My goodness, I've failed again. God is not going to accept me." We've got to realize that we start from a point of holiness, that God has set us apart unto himself, and now because God has called us to be holy, we now pursue holiness. We pursue sexual purity.
Right, and that should be a joy for us.
Yeah, right?
I think purity can often be talked about in the context of, like, oh, these are all the things you can't do. Purity
yeah.
is about sucking any fun out of your life.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. As Christians, we should promote purity, we should protect purity, and we should celebrate purity.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the other thing, that God has called us apart unto himself, and he has now then dictated for us. In other words, he created us, and he redeemed us. We belong to him, and he now sets out, this is what will make your life the way it ought to be. This
right.
is what I've created you to be. We think that this is the primal problem that people face,
mm-hmm.
that we think that we know better than God. And it should be a joy for us to look to what God commands and seek to live according to that, because he says, "This is how you will please me. This is how you will live for me." I keep wanting to say, "This is how you will have your best life now," which is true. I mean, listen, that's a whole nother episode issue. But the point is that God says, "I've created you. I have created this world. I know how life will go the best for you."
Yeah, exactly.
And so this is what you ought to do. And we should be like, wow, how gracious of God is. Yeah. That's it, yeah. Right? Thank you. Yeah. Right? You've given us this call. Purity should not be the kind of issue where we go, oh,
right.
We're talking about purity again. It's like, wow, this is exciting. We want the glass of water to not have a drop of poison in it. We want to protect it from all impurities.
Yeah.
So.
Purity really is the path to human flourishing that God has given us.
Yeah. See, you just said that. So I was like dancing all over the place. And I'm going, this is the world. It's your best life now. But all you had to say is, say it again. I can't even remember how you say it.
Purity is the path to flourishing that God created.
Yeah, man, that's good. You just nailed it.
It's all right. Well, you were talking. I just kind of tuned out and you're started thinking about something smart to say next.
You're like, man, Dad, it's bibbly babbling again. I got
I'll
something
just
great.
Think of something.
That was good. Okay, so let's talk about some of the nitty gritty of what I mean. We said purity is more than just not having sex outside of marriage, and more than just not looking at pornography. Let's talk about what it is. What are some of the issues related to pursuing purity that we need to recognize?
So I think there's a lot of different categories of life that purity touches, and really purity shouldn't influence our entire lives. So what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty big one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless you're going to want to move on to the next one though, but as far as what we do, one thing I think that is important to recognize about this is that, okay, like we said, it's more than not looking at pornography. Everybody knows that it would be sexually immoral to look at pornography. Mm-hmm. It would be sexually immoral to have sex outside of marriage. But I think when it comes to what we do, we've got to think about the things that don't seem as bad.
Right.
You know, like I think I don't want to say it's worse or better, but what about what we watch just as far as watching a movie?
Yeah.
Like how much sexual content that we will watch or we will not watch. It's like, I think so often we think, oh, well, it's not pornography.
Yeah.
So it's okay to watch it. But maybe it's not okay to watch it. Maybe it's just the subject matter. Maybe it's how it's addressing the subject matter. Maybe it's just the way that the characters are dressed, females or
yeah.
males.
What we read. Like, Mom and I have talked
absolutely.
About... as women, sometimes we're more emotional, and so reading about things can
yeah.
provide even more of a temptation than watching certain
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
If we're not as tempted to that physically, but we're tempted to like fantasize and thoughts. So I think reading, watching things,
yeah.
listening to music.
Oh, you think about the music that is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember when I was a kid and the music I would listen to, and that was back in the day when there wasn't 8,000 babillion Christian musicians
right.
out there. That was when there was hardly any out there. And I was listening to rock music that was not Christian music. And you know, Grammy would always say that it's influencing you. And
yeah.
I go, no, I'm just listening to the music. And that was hogwash. I didn't know what I was talking about there. Grammy was dead right. When
yeah.
you're taking in all that content, you can't just be like, oh, well, I don't really pay attention to the lyrics. They go in your brain and they influence how you think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just really want to emphasize that it's more than just, you know, like I say, I mean, yes, the issue of looking at pornography is terrible. That's
mm-hmm.
terribly impure. But
yeah.
also just watching inappropriate movies. And again, that's, you know, you have to decide what is inappropriate. We all have to draw our lines based on what Scripture says.
Yes.
But I think when it comes to what we do, we're often trying to figure out how close we can get to impurity without actually becoming impure.
Right.
Right? And so rather than trying to say, hey, let's pursue purity. Let's try to be as pure as I can, rather than how much can I get away without watching or listening to without sinning.
Yes. You know, I feel very strongly about this because like there's the question that is oft asked in like a dating relationship. How far is too far?
Yeah.
And I just feel like that is the wrong question to ask. But we apply it to all these areas. Like what is the most that I can get away with? Like,
mm-hmm.
no, that is not how Christians should think. We
yeah.
should think like, what is the standard that God has laid out for us?
Yeah.
What is the right thing to do? What is the best thing to do? And how can we pursue that joyfully?
Yeah. And I mean, that brings me to either Leviticus 11, 44 or Leviticus 19, verse 1, or, and I can't remember where it is in the New Testament. First Peter. In First Peter, where he quotes from Leviticus, where it says, "For I'm the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy."
Yeah.
Like, what is our standard of purity? God.
Yeah.
He is perfectly pure. Mm-hmm. He is the only glass of water without a drop of poison.
Right.
And so I mean, it's just we have got to be looking for how we can pursue purity in what we do, what we watch, what we listen to. Now, inevitably, mm-hmm. we have to talk about this. This is where articles and discussions kind of go off the rails here. How do we think about what we wear and purity? And again, right. first thing, I'm going back to what you said. This is not just an issue for women. And I'm using my pointing yeah. finger here. Only Jaquil can see yeah. this. But it's not just an issue for women. So how do we consider purity and what we wear?
Well, I've referenced this article before. My friend Brett Harris wrote an article.
You have a friend named Brett Harris?
It's true.
Oh, that's
friend,
interesting.
Business partner. yes. Called The Other Side of Modesty. Okay. And he writes this whole article about guys and why they need to sure. pursue modesty and what they dress and how they dress.
Yeah.
So I think dress is an absolutely important part of purity. And I do think, without being like, girls, how you dress, if you are the problem here, you are the focal point. If guys lust, it's not really their fault. It's you because of how you dressed. How you dress is important.
Yeah, yeah. It's ultimately, it's not your fault when a man lusts after you. It's your fault if you are intentionally attempting to draw him towards lust.
Yeah.
There's no question you're responsible for that. He's responsible for his own sin. But I didn't even really want to get into that. I just wanted to emphasize the fact that when it comes to the issue of purity and how we dress, we all ought to be doing everything in our power to promote purity, mm-hmm. not just our own purity, but the yes. purity of others. And this is where I've got to say, I love how you address this in your book,
oh,
right? Like
you.
In the chapter in your book where you addressed relationships and where you specifically addressed this, you made the point, and I mean, I loved this. You made the point, you know, you didn't get into the whole conversation about dating versus courtship and this,
no,
that, and
you.
The other thing. What you did is you said that no matter what our view on that is and how we look at these relationships, our desire must be our own purity and the purity of others,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's the bottom line here. When a guy puts his clothes on in the morning, when a girl puts her clothes on in the morning, I think that they should think to themselves, how is this going to promote purity in others? And not just others in like other church members or other Christians, other human beings,
yeah.
right? How is this going to promote purity, or is it not going to promote purity? So again, I mean, it's not that I'm going to, it's not that I'm not going to say that it's slightly, it is more of an issue when it comes to women dressing. I think it is.
I agree.
And I don't have any problem yeah. saying that. But I do think definitely we've got to realize that it's both sides. Every human being's got to think about how is how they dress. How will how they dress promote purity in others?
Definitely. And just being aware that how we dress does reflect who we are in some way. And we live in a very immodest culture, and so mm-hmm. you dressing modestly means that you will be different
yeah.
in a sense. And I think that's good, because I think that's a part. If you are going to seek to live a pure lifestyle, you are going to be very different from the world.
Yeah, and I think the whole issue of purity, it all rotates around the issue of how we think about the opposite gender and
yeah.
how we think about sexuality.
Yeah.
Right? That's really a lot of the problem, is that young people are trained up to the end. Well, in the culture I grew up in, we never talked about sex.
Yeah.
Not whatsoever. I don't remember anybody ever talking to me about sex in church. And maybe they did. I don't want to fault anybody. Maybe they did, but I don't ever remember hearing about it. It was like it was the word that was never spoken of. And so it seemed as though sex was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
Yeah.
Sex is good when it is enjoyed in the context in which God has created it to be enjoyed in. And so we should not see sex as bad. We should not see sexual attraction necessarily in and of itself as bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we've got to understand that sex is a good thing to be enjoyed in the context in which God has created it to be enjoyed in. And so we shouldn't be seeking after those things at a time when we're not called to partake in them.
Right.
Right? And so we've got to think about sex properly, and that's a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
And we've got to think about the opposite gender properly, right? That they're not, that the opposite gender, whether we're a guy or girl, they're not objects.
Yeah.
They're not things just simply to give us pleasure.
Yeah.
They are human beings created in the image of God. We've got to respect them. We've got to, you know, honor them, yeah, whether you're a guy or a girl.
Yeah, definitely. Treat them with dignity.
Yeah.
As image bearers of God, and especially when it comes to fellow Christians. Like, this sounds super, yeah, corny, but treating them as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Why,
like,
is that corny?
It sounds corny.
You know,
corny.
What? If Paul was here right now, he would have been like, you're calling me corny?
No, it sounds very churchy, but
I know,
but the thing is, it's like, no, like, this is the problem. When we view them as objects, or just as, like, even, this is sounds a little bit more Christian-y, but as, like, potential husbands or as potential wives, yeah, like, I think it does demean them. Like, they are people are more than that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's other things, too, when it comes to purity. I mean, like, we live in this online world. Like, what you post online,
yep,
you've got to think about
what
that.
What you view online.
I mean, yeah, well, I'm thinking, though, of, like, what you post online. I've seen things sometimes where maybe something is quite funny. It's got a funny joke. It's a meme, and it's a funny joke. But it's got somebody that's dressed immodestly or something,
yeah,
on it. And it's like, okay, is a laugh really that important? Like, you've got to stop. Again, it's the same as when you put on your clothes each day. When you post something online, ask yourself, how is this going to promote purity?
Yeah.
Or will it, right?
Yeah, and even being aware, like, this is another thing. Like, your friends and followers, like, you're not just trying to protect your own purity. Like, you should be actively trying to protect the purity of those around you. And so it's like, is this video going to protect my brothers and sisters in Christ's,
yeah,
purity?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's so many things. What the kinds of books you read.
Yeah.
And I mean, the things you say.
Yes. Again, right? With the jokes.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes, yeah, that we are not pure in our speech.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and sometimes, I mean, like, sometimes just, like, if we don't talk about sex and relationships in the right way,
yeah,
then that can promote impurity. And, I mean, this last one, what we think about,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, what do we spend our time thinking about? Are we seeking to think pure thoughts? I remember one time when I was talking to somebody and I mentioned that we sin with our minds, and they were like, what? And it was like, what do you mean sin with our minds? I can't control what I think. And it's like, oh, my soul.
Yeah.
You have to control what you think. I mean, Paul tells us only to think on things that are pure,
yeah,
right? We're only to think on things that are good. So, no, we can most definitely think in our minds, it's not okay to fantasize,
yeah,
about sexual immorality. That's,
yeah,
bad. People will say, well, you know, but I'm not actually out there doing it. But, oh, my soul, no, you most definitely got to be careful what you think. You need to be thinking pure thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it comes back to where we started, is that we should love purity. We should find the pursuit of purity to be a joy, and we should celebrate purity. I mean, so often, aren't Christians painted as prudes?
Yes.
Oh, you're such prudes. Why,
right,
do you care about purity? Or even amongst Christians,
mm-hmm,
when it comes to the debate over what is modest and what's not, and it's like, oh, you're just being a prude. This is the fashion of the day. Forget that noise,
yes,
fashion of the day. We don't follow the fashion of the day.
Yeah.
We when it comes to what we wear and what we do and what we look at and what we say, our standard is not the world.
Mm.
Our standard is the Word of God. So, man, I think it's been a great conversation. Is there anything else you think that needs to be said?
No, I mean, we just practically, we mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think, about using a software, OpenDNS.
Yeah.
Just there are definitely practical things that you can do to just seek to further promote purity in your own life and protect the purity of those around you.
No, hey man, we got time.
We're
over our regular time, but no, let's do that.
Okay.
Let's talk about some of those practical things. So you're sitting here and you're hearing this and you're going, wow, you know, yeah, I'm definitely on. Sean,
yeah,
and Jaquel, they got it, this one, man. They really hit the nail on the
right,
head in this
every
episode.
Every other episode, they've been kind of iffy,
I definitely want to pursue purity. So some practical, let's talk about some practical steps. And let me address the first one, because because I mentioned it on our app episode, yeah. And it's really not an app, but I do love this service. It's called OpenDNS. Mm-hmm. And the thing about this is you can set it up on your modem so that anybody who uses the Wi-Fi in your home is blocked from seeing explicit adult content. And again, it doesn't mean that you can't get on inappropriate YouTube videos or inappropriate. I'm sure you can still see things that will not be pure,
yeah.
But you can't get towards pornography. It'll just give you a message. And it'll say, you know, you can't view this content. It's explicit material, whatever. So anyway, and it's a free service, OpenDNS. I highly commend it to you. You don't just have to put on your modem. You can put it on your phone so that wherever you are, whatever Wi-Fi you're using, it will keep it. Because again, we're wanting to make sure we don't see things that are. The reality is that sometimes we will see something that is not appropriate, and that's not necessarily a sin.
Yeah.
If you see it, if you don't, it has to do with what you do when you see it. Mm-hmm. Do you look away from it, it's not necessarily a sin to see something that is inappropriate. It's what you do when you see it. So what we want to do is we want to do everything we can to prevent that from happening.
Right.
And OpenDNS will definitely do that. And there's others. I mean, there's other ways you can do that, and other services, I'm sure. That's just the one I use. It's free, and it's really good.
Yeah, probably the thing that has had the biggest impact for me, especially when I was a teenager, in my pursuit of purity, was being held accountable by my parents. If your parents are not Christians, then having godly mentors in your life who will do this for you is incredibly important. And then kind of connected to that is like creating boundaries in your own life with the opposite gender, and then having people hold you accountable to guard those boundaries. And again, I think that's a part of the protecting part of purity.
Yeah. Now, something I do want to say about accountability. It's something I've been involved with, mm-hmm. holding people accountable. I've had people hold me accountable, and all that sort of thing. And it's this: when you go to somebody to ask them to hold you accountable, you've got to really want them to hold you accountable.
Yeah.
Right. And again, I mean, this is kind of going back to, if we understand purity, we should ought to want to pursue purity. And so I mean, the thing is that throughout the years, sometimes, you know, people will ask me to hold them accountable, and then they don't really want me to hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. They want me to absolve them of guilt. It's like if I tell somebody about it, then it makes it okay. And no, it's not. That's not. I mean, the issue is that you've really got to want to pursue purity. Just having somebody hold you accountable doesn't necessarily take care of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it, again, as Jaquel said, it's a very good thing to have somebody who's going to come to you and say, look, I'm concerned about your purity.
Yeah.
Purity. How are you doing with this? You know, one of the questions I'm fond of asking young men is, I always ask, how is the battle against temptation and sin going?
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's a battle,
right.
And so yeah, having somebody to hold you accountable is excellent. We already talked about being careful about what entertainment you consume.
Yeah,
you know, you have to be careful about that. One of the things that we go to is Plugged In Online,
mm-hmm.
and I'll admit sometimes it goes too far. It's like somebody kissed somebody, and it's like somebody glanced at somebody.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes it's too nitpicky. Okay, I get that, and I don't disagree. I agree. Sometimes, but the point is that you should try attempt to know what you're getting into before you watch something.
Right.
Unfortunately, I wish you didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. But reality, you have to do that. So that's helpful.
Yeah, it's true. Also, we talked a bit about modesty. Just seeking in the clothes that you buy.
Yeah, sure.
To just be mindful of modesty. And a resource that has been helpful to me is Carolyn Mahaney put together a PDF called The Modesty Checklist,
mm-hmm.
that we'll link below. But that it's super practical. You may not agree with everything on it, but it's sort of a guide to buying clothes that seeks to be modest.
Yeah, and the other thing about that too is that the more you think about modesty, the more you're thinking about the purity of others,
right.
The more you will then think about your own purity.
Yes.
It's just, this is something you've got to constantly be thinking about. It is not just going to come naturally. You've got to be thinking about this. So,
yep. And then another thing kind of connected to parents and accountability is just when young people have questions or concerns or confusions about anything to do with purity or sexuality, is being willing to ask ask those questions to their parents instead of, you know, going to the world for answers, going to Google, or just not asking them because it feels awkward or uncomfortable. Like, that's where I think impurity can really take root, when honesty and openness and vulnerability is not happening. So just being willing to have the hard, awkward conversations with your parents. And parents out there, I don't often address you, but being willing to talk to your teenagers about that is very important.
Well, I think one of the things is that you do need to acknowledge they are awkward conversations.
Oh, they totally are.
I don't deny that for one second. But like you said, we need to be prepared to have those awkward awkward conversations.
Yeah.
Nobody ever said every conversation wasn't going to be awkward. We shouldn't avoid them. So, yeah, and same, I want to say a word to pastors out there. This is something that you need to talk about. And you say, well, it's really tough to do it in a group. Fine, don't do it in a group, but do it individually, on an individual basis. You need to be talking to the people in your care about the issues of purity. It's not just something that we can ignore and pretend it's not happening. It's something that we all have to be working towards, and it's something that we need to talk about. So don't be afraid to have those awkward conversations. If you're a youth pastor and you have all these, you know, young men, you have opportunities to help them pursue purity, and you know, if you have a wife, she can help the young ladies.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it is something that we've got to be thinking about, and we can't be afraid to shy away from the
don't shy away from them.
Just have the conversations.
Okay.
Anyway, yes.
So then the very last thing.
What? Are you sure? Last thing?
Maybe. I said
maybe we'll have something else.
Well, we could. Okay. But read books about purity.
No, you can just say read books.
read books.
Yeah.
So maybe a couple books that you would recommend.
Yes.
Pastor Bubs?
Yeah. My favorite book on purity is the Bible.
Oh, that's a bestseller, too.
I got to say, I love it. I love it when you put out, I remember a while back, you put out on your Facebook, like, what's your favorite books out there?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, duh, duh, duh. And then every now and then somebody's like, my favorite book is the Bible.
Because mine isn't.
it's so sad you have to put it. What's your favorite books besides the Bible? Anyway, when it comes to sexual purity, I'm only going to just mention one book. I think it's a little book. I read the PDF when it was free, and I don't know if it's still free, but there's a little book, and it's called Sexual Detox, and it's by Tim Challies, and it is excellent. I highly commend it to you. There's one on Amazon. You can just type in Sexual Detox, and then he's got two smaller versions, and one is for single guys, and one is for married guys, I think. I don't know if they're still available.
Okay.
But anyway, I think the one that's on Amazon is just basically this one put into one. So anyway, that's just the one I'm going to recommend.
Okay. I'm also going to recommend Passion and Purity by Elizabeth Elliot. A good one for young ladies. And another one that I just thought of right now, is totally Thoughts for Young Men by J.C. Ryle. Cause he talks about purity in that book. So that's a must read for young people.
Totally. Let's do one more thing. Let's just end with a few verses.
Okay.
Okay. We got these verses jotted down. We did make some notes for this episode. Not especially thought out or a great outline, as you can tell from the episode, but we got some verses here. First one, is 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity.
So this is what I think is so amazing, all right? It's like impurity is kind of like a sin that people associate with youth.
I know.
And here is this letter advising Timothy to this young person to let no one despise him. And him set an example for all the other believers in purity, like this young person.
I know.
So young people can be different.
So often we're just like, well, we'll figure that out when we're an adult. Let's just let kids be kids.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They're going to deal with impurity. No, he says young people set an example in the area of purity. So so there's a good one. 1 Timothy 4:12.
Yeah. And then Matthew 5:8, Jesus, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I mean, that really gets at it. And really, what is purity? It is a thing that starts and comes right out of the heart.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last one, 2 Timothy 2:22. And again, addressing young people. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Purity is not something to worry about later. purity is something to think about now. And we hope this episode has helped you think about that. Jaquel, tell people where they can find us and all that stuff.
Well,
in each episode. But...
Okay, they can find us online always, unless someday the internet is
where they can find us. Don't give them our house address.
Yeah, no, we will skip that. But they can find us at our virtual home, ageofminority.com, or anywhere on social media, Age of Minority on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and they can always go to iTunes. Always. It's always an option,
please,
people.
Go to iTunes.
And leave us an honest 5-star rating and review.
All right. Cool. Till next week, Jaquel.
This has been Age of Minority.